So a couple things really quickly before I get into this. You should have found a booklet on your table. And this is what is going to be our primary resource for this evening. So what we're going to do is I'm going to share with you an evangelism tool that I have been walking through for over 4 years now. Okay, I've been doing this model for over 4 years, and here's what it's called. It's called My Story, God's Story. Okay, it's called My Story, God's Story. That's the model and the name of the model that we're going to be doing. So this is something that I've done. This isn't some model that, like, I just was like, hey, like, that seems like a good one. You know, like, let's teach that to them. No, this is something that I've wrestled with. This is something that I've done. I shared the gospel a number of times this week, and this is what I use. I use this every time I share. It looks different every time I share, and I think it's going to be a really good model for us as a church, and I'm excited to share it with you. And as you hear every week, Mercy Church is passionate about seeing a gospel awakening in the city of Charlotte that will go to the ends of the earth. And in order for that to be reality, we need people who live unapologetically Christian lives in their homes, in their jobs, in their neighborhoods, in all sphere of influences that they have. And we must be people ready to share the gospel at any moment. You know, I talked about 2 Corinthians 5. We're ambassadors for Christ. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That means that God has chosen spirit-filled people to be the vehicle through which he does his best work. In Romans 10:14, you know, it tells us that salvation only happens when people share the gospel. It says it only happens when people share the gospel. So how will people come to faith if there's not a preacher? Right? That's what Romans 10:14 says. If people are the mission, we have to be ready to share the gospel. And when it comes to sharing the gospel, there are a lot of Christians in this room right now, and I know you probably all came to faith in a different way. Some of you probably came to faith in college through the bridge diagram, or one that's really cool right now is Three Circles. That's really great. Or Romans Road. All of those models are awesome. And I know at least one person that has been saved through every one of those models, right? Those models are awesome. But what I want to do this evening is I want to teach you a model that is very conversational, okay? It's very conversational because sometimes some of the evangelism models that I've seen, it's like, okay, where's a pen? I got to find a pen so I can write on this piece of paper so that I can draw you a bridge, or that I can draw some circles, or that I can do something, or I need to memorize, you know, Romans Road, which is, you know, it's good to memorize Romans Road. You should do that. That's good. But you have to have all these Bible verses memorized. Well, what if we forget these verses? I want to teach y'all something very conversational, and it seems almost like it won't appear in any way like, oh, this is an evangelism model and someone's trying to pull a fast one on me, right? Like that, it'll seem like you're having a genuine, natural conversation. That's my goal, is I want us to be equipped to have gospel conversations, and I think this is what that does. I think this accomplishes that. So in light of this, we've come up with this model, My Story, God's Story, and that's what we're going to do. So to start, if you could turn to page 4. Turn to page 4 and 5, and in 1 Peter 3:15 it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Right? Other scriptures say, be ready in season and out of season. Be ready all the time to give the hope that you have for the gospel. So one way to do that is to know how to share your testimony. Okay? One way to do that is to know how to share your testimony. One of the most effective tools we have for sharing our faith is our testimonies. It's the story of how Jesus Christ transformed our life. One thing I love about testimonies is that when you share the gospel with somebody, they through a testimony, they can't really argue against your story, right? They can't argue against what happened to you. Why? Because it happened to you. They might be able to argue against, you know, the Bible, and they might be able to argue against that, but they can't argue against your experience. Does that make sense? That's what makes it so powerful. Another thing that makes it powerful is that every single person in here has an awesome testimony, and it's your story. And everyone has a different story. All of us have different experiences. All of us have different troubles and heartaches and joys that happen in our life. And when you meet somebody that has a story, it's compelling. It is compelling. So the question is, how do we share our testimony? Well, here's how you do. I think you do it. You're simply telling them the story of your life before you knew Jesus, before you were saved, and how you came to know and follow Jesus, and how your life was changed. Okay, so your life before Jesus, what were the circumstances? The second thing is, what were the circumstances when you came to know Jesus? Like, how did that happen? That's what you want to answer. And the third thing is, how has your life changed? How has your life changed? If you have your Bible, I want to show you a really, really, really clear testimony in the scriptures that is very clear. Acts 26. Acts 26. So in this part of Acts, Paul was arrested. Paul was a leader of the church. He used to be a terrorist, terrorizing the church, and now he was a missionary and wrote a lot of the New Testament. And in chapter 26, he is standing before, he's in trial, and they're drilling him with questions, and he shares his testimony. And here's what he says, verse 4, chapter 26. And I'm going to kind of go through this. I'm not going to go through every verse, but what I want you to see is I want you to see Paul. He tells you his life before Christ, and then he shows you how he came to receive Christ, and then he shows you how his life was changed. So I want to show you this from the scriptures, okay? I'm not making this up. This happens. Here we go. Verse 4. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, that I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship day and night. And for this hope, I'm accused by the Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up the saints in prison after receiving the authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in all the synagogues. And I tried to make them blaspheme, and in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Okay? That's pretty crazy, right? That was his life before Christ. That was his life before Christ. All right, here is how he came to Christ, and that's verses 12 through 18. It says, in this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen on the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and to witness to the things to which you have seen me and those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people to the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan of God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified faith in me. So that's his story about how he came to know Jesus, okay? Now, last four verses or so, 19 to 23. Here's how his life was changed. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I declared first to those in Damascus, and then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had help that comes from God, so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer and that being the first to rise from the dead, and he would proclaim the light to both people, both our people and to the Gentiles. So then, all right, so I want you to notice a couple things here. Number one, before his life in Christ, he could have shared a lot of gory details. He didn't. He was very simple. This was my life before Christ. He shared the most of it, but he didn't get into gritty details, right? He could have been like, I cut 8 people's heads off. You know, he could have gotten into all those details. And I know some of us, when we share our testimony, we like to talk about how bad we used to be. Remember that? And that happens sometimes. So and then he shows how we came to receive Christ. A very clear story, okay? God met him on the road to Damascus, blinded him, and told him to follow him. That's what happened. And then we see how his life was changed. So here's what we're going to do really quickly. I want to show us, I've already kind of showed you an outline for personal testimony. So here's the first one. We need to know what our life was like before Christ, how I received Christ, and how Christ has changed my life. So let me talk about a good testimony and a bad testimony, okay? Because there are really good testimonies. I want, by the end of the night, all of you should have awesome testimonies. But there's also really bad ones, okay? And I want to warn us against the really bad ones, okay? So a good testimony focuses on Christ and not on you, okay? It focuses on Christ and not on you. A bad testimony, it makes you the hero, right? Like, I finally found God, or I did this, or a lot of I statements, okay? You are not the author and perfecter of your faith, okay? God is, okay? A good testimony focuses on Christ, not on you. Here's the second thing. It's rooted in Scripture, okay? You can share your testimony and even quote Scripture without having to say all the verses and the chapters and the books. And you can share the gospel by sharing, or share your testimony by sharing Scripture. Okay, in a bad testimony, you brag about how bad you used to be. Okay, now some of you have done this. Okay, and here's what happens. Man, here's an example of a bad one. Man, I used to party so hard, dude. I partied so hard you wouldn't even know. Oh, you drank that many beers? I smoked like 8 blunts and it was incredible. Man, I did any like way worse than you. I'm not kidding. I was way worse. You know, and then you know God saved me. And now I'm just following his will, and I'm back with God. And so I want you to notice a couple things. So number one, a bad testimony brags about all the sin you used to do, and then your face kind of lights up when you talk about the bad things that you used to do, right? Like, man, I used to do all these horrible things. Isn't that hilarious? and then you share all these things, but then when it comes time to tell what Jesus did in your life, then it's like, well, you know, God saved me, and your face kind of falls a little bit, and then it's like, you know, you don't have any fun anymore, right? And that's just, we know that's not true, but I'm sure you've seen testimonies like that. I'm sure you've seen it like that where there's someone who glorifies their sin and downplays what Christ did. They glorify who they used to be instead of glorifying what God did to save them and who they are now in Christ and how those things never satisfied them, and how Christ did. So beware of that. Beware of that. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we do brag about how bad we used to be. A good testimony clearly communicates the gospel's effect in your life. So remember the bad testimony? Like, you're talking about all the gory details about how bad you used to be, but you don't clearly communicate how it affected your life. Like, how is your life radically transformed? How is it radically transformed? Communicate that to them. Show how it's better. That's so important in a good testimony. A bad testimony uses big Christian words, right? Some of us have been Christians so long that we don't realize that we actually speak a specific language that only church people speak, right? Like, man, I'm so sanctified. You don't even know. We use these Christian words like don't use hypostatic union when you're sharing the gospel, okay? Don't talk about, you know, that you've been justified and glorified, and don't talk about, you know, transubstantiation. Like, don't talk about these big Christian words. They're not going to understand that, and it's going to alienate them. You're going to seem like you know a whole lot of stuff, and what's even worse is that you're going to come across as if you're a lot better than they are, and they could never get to where you are. Does that make sense? I don't know any words that he just said. He said a lot of satiations, and I don't know. I could never be that. You are out of my league. You are an awesome Christian. And I'm messed up. I don't know if I could be that. Don't alienate people with big words. We have to fight hard to do that, right? Let's not use big Christian words. A good testimony is 1 to 2 minutes, okay? When we're sharing with people, like, people ain't trying to sit around and listen to your novel, okay? Like we have to be quick, and we have to, like, especially if you're out sharing the gospel with, like, if you're in public and you sit down and you strike up a conversation with somebody and you see that it's turning in that direction and you take advantage of it and you know, then you tell them a 25-minute sob story, they're going to check out, right? It needs to be brief. It needs to be brief. A bad testimony focuses too much on your story and forgets to actually articulate the gospel, okay? You have not shared your testimony if you have not shared the gospel, okay? So here's how that works. When you share the gospel or your testimony, my life before Christ, where the gospel needs to go is in this second section, how I received Christ, okay? Because it's okay for you if they hear how your life was changed and radically transformed but didn't actually hear the message that actually radically transformed you, then it takes all the power away from your testimony because they don't know I see that you love Jesus, but I don't know what was it that changed your life. It's the gospel, right? So don't forget the gospel. And in a good testimony, it incorporates all the elements of the gospel. It incorporates all the elements of the gospel. One of the things that I see all the time I see it, is someone share the gospel like this, okay? I'm just going to do a really quick one, right? Hey, my name's Scott. You know, good to see you. Man, I want to tell you about the gospel. You want to hear that? Awesome, cool. All right, here's how it goes, man. In the beginning, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and everything was perfect, and then, I'm going to explain all this more in detail later. You know, then God said, Adam and Eve, you can have everything in the whole world, just don't eat of that tree. And what did they do? Of course, they ate of that tree. Sin entered into the world. Now everything's broken. But what Jesus did is he came down, he lived a perfect life that we should have lived. God poured out all of his wrath onto Jesus, and Jesus died in our place. And if we believe in him, then our sins can be forgiven. Isn't that awesome? Do you want that? What did I forget? The resurrection. The resurrection is what proves that Jesus was actually God. We cannot forget the resurrection. Nor can you forget that, you know, other elements like that Jesus, you know, all the sins were put onto Jesus, right? Like Jesus, you know, died in our place. Like, we can't forget any of these elements, because if we do, it won't be complete. And it won't be the gospel. Does that make sense? All right, so you share your testimony, okay? You share it. And it goes awesome because you've been trained at an equipped form. You know what I mean? It's awesome. And here's what you do. After sharing your testimony, ask, has anything like this ever happened to you? So what we do is we now want to put this in their court, right? And now that allows us to be able to learn, okay, where are they spiritually, okay? Now we've put the ball in their court. Has anything like this ever happened to you? And then simply continue the conversation. Simply continue the conversation. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you all a few minutes. And I want y'all to, on page 7, there's a section that says, let's practice. So write down your testimony. So here's what I don't want you to do, okay? Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to write your whole life story, okay? We don't have enough paper, okay? So just write, if you want, just write bullet points, okay? Grew up in a Christian home, but never really heard the gospel until I was in college, right? Just briefly write that down. And then what I want you to do, and then how you received Christ, okay? So go through that. How did that happen? What were the circumstances surrounding that? And then how has your life changed? How is your life different after receiving Christ? You should fill that section up, right? How has your life changed? How is it different? Okay? So I want you to focus on that for a few minutes. And then in a few minutes, I'm going to prompt you. And then I want you to share that with your neighbor. Okay? We need to practice this to be good at it. Okay? We can't just, you know, just go out and be Steph Curry. All right? We need to practice. All right? So that's what we're going to do. And so right now, we're going to turn a little bit of music on, and you just work on that. And then when it's time for us to start sharing with each other, if you get to that point, go ahead and do it. But I'll prompt us and say, hey, y'all should now be sharing with each other. Make sense? Great.